earlier, we've been on this series called Holy Spirit Driven. Isn't that great? That's just a great series. You know, I just want to be so full of Jesus that I leak Jesus everywhere I go. I just want people, when they encounter me, I want them to encounter that love. And that's not really natural for me because I'm kind of a skeptical person a little bit. I can be a little bit A personality type. Point there, go here, anything in the way, crush it. But God has taught me. That's what's so amazing about God is he's taught me how to love people and care about individuals. People I don't know, people that don't have value in society, God values very highly. He's made them all in his image. But you know, the Holy Spirit is not just here to give us, tickle our fancy and to make us feel special. The Holy Spirit has a mission. And that's what we're going to be talking about, Holy Spirit's mission today. We're going to be talking. And notice I didn't say the Holy Spirit's mission, because I wouldn't go up to a genie and say, the Genie Richardson, would I? Holy Spirit's a person. We talked about that yesterday. He's a person. He has feelings. He really does. He can be grieved. He can be angered. And he can be full of joy. We have to understand that he's a person. And that we might not see him because of his omnipresent nature. We don't see him in that, like the Father and the Son and the silhouettes of their bodies and the great big white beard and whatever you imagined God the Father looked like. We don't see them the way that they really are sometimes. Holy Spirit's a person. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's most powerful. And he knows everything. He's the glory of God. He's the presence of God. Jesus said, the glory the Father gives me, I'm giving to you in chapter 17 of John, right? What's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. He's talking about giving us the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit is our helper, our guide, the leader, the guide to all truth, right? He's going to help us do everything we need to do. Now think of this, God is your helper. That's a crazy thing to think about for a moment. But that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, Holy Spirit, he's your helper. But he's not helping you do what you want to do. He's helping you do what God's called you to do. Does that make sense? And so that's a little bit different. Sometimes we get that confused. We say, Holy Spirit, you're here to help me. So help me. And Holy Spirit's like, I'm not answering to you. You're not my boss. I'm here to help you do what God wants you to do. So sometimes we call for Holy Spirit and we don't feel him. We don't get his presence because we're not surrendered to God's will. So what we need to do is learn to surrender. So we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit's mission is today. I had some questions. What is his mission? What is he doing? How are we to relate to him? How do we become aligned with Jesus? And how do we become like Jesus? That last one's really important because that's Holy Spirit's one of his jobs. Amen? So, what did Jesus teach about Holy Spirit? Let's go start right in right now at John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, Jesus prefaces this, and we talked a little bit about this. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, if you keep my commandments, see, there's a condition here. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So how long is Holy Spirit supposed to be with us?
Forever.
So once you receive Holy Spirit, does he go away?
No.
No, he doesn't go away. How about when you grieve him? Does he leave you? No, he may not talk to you for a little while, but he won't leave you. I grieve Holy Spirit sometimes. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say, or I do things I shouldn't do, and I can feel that Holy Spirit's grieved, and that grieves my heart. I don't want to grieve Holy Spirit. I don't want to treat someone rude or someone disrespectful. I want to value each person I meet as a child of God that they have the potential to become. Amen? I want to see them as God sees them, not as I see them, not as the world sees them. Forever. And then verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth. So now he says, Holy Spirit, now he's saying Spirit of truth. And remember, Jesus came what? Full of all truth and full of all grace. He wasn't 50-50. He was all truth and he was all grace. Whom the world cannot receive. Now the world can't receive it. And listen to this. The worldly nature that still resides in your old man cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's moving, but it can't operate through that old man. It just will not do it. It can't be received. So it's all about the level of surrender you have to God. It's about your level of surrender. Are you surrendered to his commandments? What are his commandments? Well, they're all his teachings, but, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor, and to love one another as I've loved you, are some of the major ones. But there are many commandments that Jesus gave, including the Great Commission. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. So, when you come to that place where you don't see him or know him, that's because you're operating out of the flesh. See, Holy Spirit can be known. He can be known like a person. Do you know that? You can know Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus is teaching here. It's not my teaching, it's his teaching. He says you can know him. You can know the Spirit of God. And that Spirit's anywhere you can go, be, or exist. It's pretty amazing. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Now this is with you and in you. It's very important that you understand that. For he dwells with you and he dwells in you. So there is that infilling that stays forever. That Holy Spirit that's down here. Sometimes he's hiding from me because I'm a bad boy or whatever. But he's right there, right? And then there's Holy Spirit's with me. He's with me to fulfill the Father's will that Jesus has spoken. So when I'm in ministry, as I am teaching right now, Holy Spirit's in me, but he's upon me. He's with me. He's empowering me for that ministry. I can feel the empowerment of Holy Spirit when I preach. I can feel the empowerment of Holy Spirit when I lay hands on people. I can feel the empowerment of Holy Spirit when I give a prophetic word. I can feel the empowerment of Holy Spirit when I'm obedient to where it leads. But I have to surrender. See, sometimes I think I know how to do God better than God. Sometimes I do. I think I know what to do best. Well, I need to go confront that person. Well, I need to go ignore that person, you know, and God's telling me just the opposite. That's why we have to be led by Holy Spirit, because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit only comes when we're obedient to Holy Spirit. A lot of people want to go out and raise dead people, but they're not led by Holy Spirit to do it. So they go out and lay hands on dead bodies and they stay dead. I want to tell you, God wants you to do things, but he ain't going to give you the big things until you're faithful with the small things. You hear what I'm saying? And we haven't gotten that. Praise God. This is good preaching, even if I say so. John 14, 25 through 26. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you in remembrance what I've said to you. I love that. First of all, Holy Spirit teaches us all things. So why, Pastor, why do we need you? Because Holy Spirit takes what I say under the anointing of Holy Spirit, and he applies it to your life. Do you understand? So I may give one message. I'll have 10 people come afterwards and say, "That was, you are speaking to me, Pastor." And they'll have 10 different issues. Why? How's that possible? Because Holy Spirit is teaching in this room right now. This is his church. You are his. You're not mine. I'm just a little sheep like you. Bah, bah. Right? I'm just like you. But Holy Spirit, but when the Spirit comes on me, then I'm pastor, then I'm teacher, then I'm whatever God wants me to be. And so he's teaching you, he's taking these words, and each of you have different thought trains going through your mind right now. And he's renewing your mind with areas that need subtle or major adjustments, depending on where you're at. And he brings things to remembrance. I love this. Sometimes someone gives me a word or gives me a exhortation or something. And like, I'm like Genie. I don't like push record and all that stuff. I just go, praise God, I received that. And you know what? It'll be years later and God will bring that word back to my remembrance. I love that about Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, have you ever, oh, there's so many things I want to talk about. We'll get to it. Oh, so good. He brings it. So Holy Spirit is sent in Jesus' name. It's amazing when you recognize the name of Jesus, how the presence of Holy Spirit comes. Listen to me. If you're in a position where you're not relating to Holy Spirit, start calling on the name of Jesus. Don't sit there and go, come Holy Spirit, come Holy. Call on the name of Jesus. Watch how Holy Spirit comes. Because he was given and sent in the name of Jesus. Amen? Holy Spirit will teach us all things. I love that he teaches us all things. Holy Spirit is not here saying, I'll show you this, but I'm not going to show you that, right? Holy Spirit's here to lead us into all truth. All truth means all things. So Holy Spirit's not holding back. You're just not spending enough time with Holy Spirit. That's kind of mean, David. Well, it's true for me too. And Holy Spirit will bring things to remembrance. So if you can't record that word, just trust on Holy Spirit. Amen? It's good to record. Jeannie will teach you to record if you listen to her. But I like just listening and let it go into my spirit, man. John 15:26-27. So we're talking about what Jesus taught about Holy Spirit so that we have the proper understanding of the mission of Holy Spirit. But when the Helper comes, notice how he calls him Helper, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. What will Holy Spirit do? Bear witness about Jesus. One of the missions of Holy Spirit is to bear witness about the Son of God, about the worthy Lamb of God, about the one whose name is the only name under heaven by which we can be saved. So Holy Spirit's not there to bring about himself. He's humble. He's there to bring about the knowledge of God's plan of salvation. Let me go on. And also will bear witness because you have been with me. And you also. So Holy Spirit bears witness to us. And you also will bear witness because he's bearing witness in you. You're going to bear witness to the world. Do you understand that, how that works? That's why we say no fire, no point. Because you got no fire, you're not going to be a witness to anybody. You can't even witness to yourself. You need the fire of God. You need the power of God to not only witness to yourself, because you need that witness. We all need that witness. But once we got it, man, we got to let it go. We got to tell somebody. Because that's what Holy Spirit's mission is. It's to spread that witness throughout the world. Do you get it? Do you get it? Okay. I don't hear no amens or nothing, man. You guys are looking at me like a bunch of sleeping giants. Come on. Clayton's meeting Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. and no one's even showing up. Come on. I told Clayton, I said, I'm going to lead one of those new groups. Yes? Yeah? I'm going to lead one of those new groups he's starting because I want to. Gladly dedicate a night a week to bringing other people to Jesus. Would you not? I'm speaking to each one of you ministers of God. The Bible calls you ministers. I'm here to equip the ministers. You're the ministers. Rise up. Well, Pastor, I don't think I'm ready. Well, you're not going to get ready telling everyone you're not ready. Get your Bible out and get ready. And then we'll put you in charge of one of these groups. Yeah. But Pastor, what? There's got to be a first time for everything, bro. Just get out there and start ministering. Just get out there and do it. Ladies, rise up. This church believes that women are empowered to do all that God has called them to do. We don't believe God cares whether you're a male or female. He cares whether you're surrendered and willing to be obedient, even at the cost of your own life. Which... leading a prayer meeting is not going to get you there, but okay. So Jesus describes Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit will bear witness about Jesus. So Holy Spirit is there to help you what? Witness. That's his mission. You know, the Father desires that none should perish. The Son desires that none should perish. Holy Spirit desires that none should perish. So when someone's perishing and walking down the street and walks right by you, God wants you to sit there and go, hi, my name's David. I want to tell you about something really special. However your approach is, What would happen to you if you died today? Right? That's one approach. The other approach, have you ever heard of Jesus? One approach is I tell them, I always like to do this. I always like to set the bar high. What church do you attend? I know they don't attend church. But man, you ought to watch them scramble trying to come up with a name. It's just hilarious. And I'm just like, well, hey, listen, I know this great church. Why don't you come join us? Because they realize deep down inside they need something. Everyone knows they need something. Everyone knows that we're not complete within ourselves. Everyone knows we need something. We are not enough in ourselves. And we know it. We're broken. We're all broken. Matter of fact, all you all is broken. And all me all is broken too. We're all broken. But God is repairing us. Praise God to God. He has not left us to our own brokenness, but he is lifting us up through the power of his word and his spirit within us. Amen? Keep it moving on. John 16:8-11. When he comes, and I'm really going to spend a little time here. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, we keep trying to do God's job for him. We're not here to convict. We're not here to do any of these things. We're here to assist Holy Spirit concerning sin because they do not believe on me. See, they were wrong, and so they're still left in their sins. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, again, through righteousness is proved through his resurrection. His resurrection is the single greatest thing that has ever happened on earth. And you will see me no longer concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Amen? Holy Spirit is the one that touches and transforms lives. We are there to be obedient to him. Holy Spirit convicts, God judges, and we love all that God puts in our lives. Just loving people brings them into a knowledge of their unrighteousness. Just knowing, just feeling that love, that unconditional love that pours through your heart will touch so many people. It's so important. And you know what? The more unlovely they are, the more love they need. And you just keep pouring that love out. I don't care if it's a street person. I don't care if it's a Hell's Angel. You demonstrate the love of God. You smile. You love. You know what I do when I see some of those people? I'm like, ugh, right? How many of them, ugh? God doesn't want us going, ah. He wants us to go, you know what? You are made in the image of God. God loves you. And God's got a great plan for your life. If we do this, we're going to see so many people get saved. It's just so hard to sit up here and preach and then realize that we don't do it. We got people like Clayton. Man, he's out there with his team. If you're in Clayton's team, raise your hand up right here. Aaron, go ahead and raise it up. V, look around here. Look at his team in here, man. Right back there, thank you, guys. Thank you so much, Blanca. Thank you, everyone. Okay. When he comes, he'll convict the world. Now, we're moving on. John 16:13-15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. We talked about that. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. Why? Because Holy Spirit is not the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So he's going to declare what the Word says. And he will declare unto you the things that are to come. Now, this is so cool. You do not have to be a prophet to know what's coming. Isn't that great? Holy Spirit is going to show you things that are to come. Why does he do that? So that you'll be prepared. So that you're ready. He leads you into all truth. The problem is we only spend about 3 seconds a day with him, so he can only say so much in 3 seconds, right? But if we spend more time with him, he'll begin to show you things to come. Now, maybe you're prophetic. Maybe that's your calling. Like my wife and Linda and others in here. Maybe that's your calling. But you don't need to be a prophet to know about things that are coming. I find that most people don't want to spend a whole lot of time with God because it gets uncomfortable. But I want to tell you, you got to push through that uncomfort because it's that uncomfort that makes you grow. I love that. He's going to show. How many of you want to know what's coming down the road? How many of you? Want me to tell you one story real quick? I'll tell you one story real fast. 2008. My wife has many words. They're not all anointed. I know. You wouldn't know that. And she comes through March 2008, and she takes one of her long, thin, little prophetic fingers. She points them at me. This time she didn't say, take out the trash, which I know is not from the God. And she points her finger at me, and she says, get all our money out of the stock market. It's about to crash. And I felt the anointing on that word. You know what I did in the next 10 minutes? I went into my account. I pulled all our money out of the stock market. You know what happened in 2008? Woo! See, it pays to hear God. I know. My wife, my God used my wife that time. That doesn't mean that everything my wife says. Not going to empower her that much. He will glorify me, for we will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now listen to that. He will glorify me. Jesus gets glorified when Holy Spirit takes what's his and gives it to you. Jesus said in 17, this glory I have, I give to you. What's he talking about? Holy Spirit. What's he talking about? Truth. What's he talking about? Empowerment. Because what God speaks, he empowers. Amen? His words never come back void. His words never come back to him empty and void. They always fulfill the purpose for which they were sent. So when you hear God's word, guess what happens? When you spend time with Holy Spirit, guess what happens? You get empowered. Now when you go out and do and are obedient to that word that he gave you, all of a sudden you find the power of Holy Spirit there with you. You're not acting alone anymore. You got all of heaven behind you, waiting for you to act on that word. You see, you start living your life this way, and life gets exciting. Life gets really exciting because you get the word, and then you feel the anointing, the mantle to fulfill that word. It's not like some mantle you go around and say, hey, there's my title. It's not about titles. It's about anointing. It's about being filled with the Spirit of God. There's a Greek word called pletho. And pletho is about where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts. I mean, in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit came down, in Acts 1. But all of a sudden, they're being filled with the Holy Spirit again. I think it's Acts 4:16. They're being filled again with Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're being filled with the empowerment to do what was just spoken to their heart. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say in that hour, because in that hour, you will know what to say. Why? Because the empowerment of Holy Spirit will come. The word will come, and then the power. Do you think that Peter, who stumbled over his words, you know, the guy that was always saying not terribly bright things at times, do you think that he could win 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, or do you think it was Holy Spirit through him? So if God can use someone like that, or like me, or like many of us leaders here, he can use you. We're almost done. You're going, thank God, Pastor. God does hear prayer. Aligning yourself with the mission is the most important thing. So what is Holy Spirit here to do? Well, there's really two things that Holy Spirit is to do. He is the number one. He is here to confirm God's word. In Mark 16:20, it says, and when they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. You know why you don't see signs in your life? Because you're not doing what Holy Spirit wants to do. If you're doing what Holy Spirit wants to do, you're going to start seeing signs in your life. Amen? This is confirmed again because some people dispute Mark 16:20. But if we go to Hebrews 2:4, it's also confirmed. While God also bore witness by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts by the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. To who? Us. To us. God wants to confirm his word. He doesn't want to confirm your ministry. Just being real. Just being real. He's here to confirm his word. He's here to confirm it, not to allow us to get an ego or what if, let's just say, what if one of you went out there and prayed and raised a few people that were dead? Then the whole world's at your doorstep. I mean, you've all dreamed about this. I know you have. And you're sitting there and they're all lined up at your door, man. They're like, pray for us, pray for us. I'll give you billions of dollars. Pray for me. I have this disease and that disease. What would your ego do? What would that do to you? Are you ready for that? Why don't you just go heal someone with a headache first? Why don't you build up on it? Why don't you kind of grow in that anointing? Why don't you allow Holy Spirit to keep this heart in check? When you have a little bit of success, man, that slippery little devil of pride comes in so fast. Corrie Ten Boom said this, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. That's a great quote. You ought to take a picture of that. Why are the cameras not up? Where are the cameras? My goodness. And lastly, this last verse, listen, Holy Spirit is here to do God's will. He's here to confirm God's word. If you're not preaching his word, if you're not sharing his word, if you're not witnessing his word, you're not going to see his confirmation in your life. That's what the word says. And 2 Corinthians 3:16-18 says this, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. I love that. That's a great verse. That verse right there is amazing. What, remember before you came to Jesus, how the Bible like was just gibberish? And then you came to Jesus and all of a sudden it started making sense. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. I love that. When Jesus rose from the dead, the veil was torn. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When we turn to God, now listen, that's not just for an unbeliever, because that's where you're going with this, some of you. But I'm telling you, that's for all of y'all. That's for everyone here. When you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. You may have turned to the Lord 99%, but when that 1% turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And you see what you hadn't seen before. Next verse. And the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
So important to understand that God wants you to be free. It's so important. Next verse. One of the greatest verses of the New Testament. And we all, with unveiled face, because the veil is gone, because we've turned to the Lord, haven't we? Seeing the scriptures before there. Beholding the glory of what? The Lord. It's when we behold his glory, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is what? The Spirit. So I want you to get this picture. That word image right there comes from the Greek word that means to smash, the same word to smash an image onto a coin. So they would have a hammer with an image on one side, and they would have a little pedestal with an image on the other, and they'd put a piece of silver or whatever, bronze or whatever there, and then they would hit it with that hammer, and it'd put image on both sides. Holy Spirit is in you, and Holy Spirit is with you. You are being crushed into the image of Jesus. That's what that word is showing you. You are being pressed into his image. And here's the thing. You are pressed into what you behold. So if, for instance, if you are beholding the Lord as a whole, that's great. But sometimes you have specific needs like patience or kindness or whatever. As you look at God's patience, as you look at God, as you behold, whatever you behold, you become. And you're being crushed into that image. So what do you lack? What is it that you lack in your life? Boldness? Strength? What is it that you lack? Whatever you lack, you go to the Lord and you behold him. And you're being crushed into that image. That's a really powerful, powerful verse. So let me see what notes. We must continuously turn to the Lord. It's an ongoing process. You become what you behold. And the Lord and the Spirit are one. They are one. And you can't separate Holy Spirit from Jesus, nor can you separate Jesus from the Father. They are three persons, but they are so wonderfully combined together in the Holy Trinity that you can never separate one from the other. And that's a wonderful thing. So if you're with the Holy Spirit, you're with the Father. If you're with the Father, you're with the Son. You're just with them all when you obey Holy Spirit. I want you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, whew, thank you for the anointing that comes with your Spirit. And before we go, I'm reminded of a young lady who sits down in a hospital just down Santa Monica Way towards that direction. our little Charlana. Father, we just lift her up to you, God. Father. She had a heart episode, and now she's not showing much brain activity. But God, we are believing, and we are trusting you, God. Touch Charlana now. Touch one of my spiritual daughters, Lord. Touch her now, God. Father, we thank you. If it's your will to waken her out of that sleep, to bring her out of that sleep, and to bring her back, Father. We thank you for just being there with her, being in that place. Father, let not the enemy have his way, but Lord, you have your way in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, life is short. That person I'm talking about, she's not 50. She's not 40. I don't even think she's 30. 27. Life, you're not guaranteed anything in this life. I want to tell you something. You might sit there and go, you know, someday I'm going to accept the Lord. But I want to tell you, today is the day of salvation. The word declares today is that day. You can't ignore this, because if you walk out the door and, God forbid, something bad happens, you may miss it. It's so important to know that God loves you. So important to know that there is the hand of grace today that might not be there tomorrow. You need to think about your life. You need to think about what you're doing, and you need to make a choice. Moses stood before them and he said, choose this day, life or death. God is saying to you this day, choose life or choose death. Choose it in your heart. Make a decision if you're going to accept the grace of God. None of us can do this on our own, and unlike any other religion, what says that if you're just better than most people, you make it. Christianity says you have to be perfect and that you can't do it on your own. But God can do it in you. God can do it in you. And so he sent his son, who was perfect, to do what we couldn't do, to live the perfect life, so that he would be the perfect sacrifice. This plan is so perfect because without sacrifice, love is unproven. And God proves his love through his son, Jesus Christ, who died not just for me, but for all that receive him. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus, or you've fallen back and you've fallen away, in a moment we're all going to say a prayer together. Join us and say it with all of your heart. Mean it. Say it with faith. This is your decision. This is your life. Without this salvation, there is no hope. But in it is hope eternal. Pray this with me, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for making me, for loving me, and now today, forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me. As I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I will follow you all the days of my life. I will never abandon you, for you will never abandon me. Even in the depths of my sin, you still loved me. And I receive that love now. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said that for the first time or made a significant recommitment to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as an act of faith. God, it's impossible to please God without faith and actions. Faith requires action. Count of three, raise those hands high. Show God you meant what you said. One, two, three, raise them up. Let me see them. Let me see them go up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight hands. Let's give the Lord a clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prayer team, come on up. Please stand with me as we dismiss. I want you to come up today from the prayer team and get a touch of God if you need it. If you just need a touch of God, you don't even have to say why. Just allow these anointed ministers to pray for you today. Line up along the wall, they'll take you in order, and just go up there and receive whatever God has. I want to remind you to sign up for basics, sign up for your t-shirts, and today we have Growth Track. If you want to be a member of this church or you want to know more about this church, meet me over in that room as soon as it's cleared out in about 15 minutes, and I'll share with you the vision of the church. Father, I thank you that you bless these, empower these, take them now into the streets, into the byways and the highways, And Father, lead them to compel others into the kingdom of God. I thank you now that they are anointed and empowered to do all that you've called them to do. We ask that you, Father, that you strengthen them with boldness in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.